ready to turn right?
Yeah.
Just lost you, wagon! Wow!
Podcast Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. And with me this week is Sonny. You know, it's been a couple weeks, so I'm going to lay it on a little thick. Sonny Hollywood Pony.
Very nice. Very
good,
nice.
Good job.
I'm glad. And right down there is the goddess of thunder herself, Lee. How you doing, Lee?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing great. My son graduated a couple of days ago.
Yay.
And yes, go Jays.
So I have no more reasons to get up at 6 a.m. and make him his lunch before school. And that is a weird feeling. But I guess I'll get used to it after a while. How have you guys been? How did you guys get to see, Sonny, you were with your wife for Mother's Day?
I was, and we're weeks away from a kid turning 21, a kid getting married, a nephew getting married, a niece getting married. Like, it's about to become stupid.
It's on.
Yeah, and Lee, did you get to see your mom?
Of course, yeah. Spend the day nice.
And that was nice? Awesome. I'm glad.
Of course.
That is great. That is great. So last week we were off. This week, it's steamrolled. All kinds of things happened, and we get to talk about them today. And so let's get to the news.
Podcast Rock City News.
So Gene Simmons has started a movie production company, and he's doing it with one of the guys that did Deep Blue Sea. Sonny, did you ever see that movie?
I have not, but it sounds like he was involved in Die Hard 2 also, maybe?
Same guy.
Yeah. That I have seen.
So that's pretty cool. I'm not going to lie. I'm excited. So basically it says the director of Deep Blue Sea is making a new shark movie with Gene Simmons. So here's
Gene's this. Not acting. He's going to be
no,
behind
he's yeah, behind he's the behind team. The camera kind of thing. All right. So here's how this works. This is Gene getting ready for not touring. You
exactly.
see what I'm saying?
Yes,
he's getting
of course.
Now he's always been involved in stuff. We know that. Mm-hmm. But this is movies he's always loved. And, you know, if you go back and go back into our archives, either on iTunes or Google or even on YouTube, I interviewed Gene on one of the Kiss cruises, Kit 9, I think, 10. And I asked him about movies, and he talked about movies. He loves film. So this is a really good opportunity for him to get involved in something like that. I would love... My cool idea is I hope that he's the type of person that goes, I don't want to remake old ideas. I want to come up with new ideas.
Let's hope so.
Because there's so much old. I mean, to do a shark movie, great. I'm a Jaws fan. I always love Jaws. I love the movie Deep Blue Sea. I understand that these movies are unrealistic, and that's fine. But my whole idea of, shark movies have always scared the crap out of me. And then I'll still get in the water in the ocean and go 100 yards out.
What about Sharknado?
I never saw it.
Oh, my God. They're hilarious.
I know you've seen them.
I love it.
Sonny would,
so terrible.
$1 million wouldn't watch those movies.
It's
no,
funny.
I'm not much into horror. But, reading this thing, looks like they signed a 5-year deal for 25 movies.
Whoa.
He's looking at doing like action and thriller, which makes sense. This first movie, basically something happens and the terrified group is forced to work together and overcome their differences if they hope to escape their sinking plane and the frenzy of sharks drawn to the wreckage.
That's what the movie's Jaws. About. Basically Jaws. That's what they
No, but they're looking at global production, so they're not doing independent movies. Like, they got billionaires backing them. And I don't mind if they remake old movies if they're going to do it well. Like the new Sherlock Holmes sucks. Like, but I'm saying, like, if they remake something about Jack the Ripper and do it really well and try to make it into a thriller, that's not so bad. Because some remakes do okay, but we don't need another Footloose. Like that bullshit. Like,
I'm not gonna lie, I liked Footloose.
Oh my
god. The original, so yes.
No, I did. I like both of them. But I'm gonna tell you why. Horrible. Laurie Singer in the first one, Juliana Huff. Yeah. All I have to say. And they filmed that here and at the start. What's that drive-in, Lee? The Starlight?
Have you ever?
Yeah. And she's like grinding on one of the poles. It's like, oh, watch that all freaking day.
Country, though. Why is it country?
So was Footloose.
It was filmed in Atlanta.
Oh, Footloose was pop. It wasn't country.
Yeah, oh, country music. Yeah. And they filmed part of it. They filmed part of it at this bar, huge country bar, Cowboys. Remember that place? The Electric Cowboy. Oh, that was a big.
That's where Iron Mullet had their first show, and we got shut off.
Oh, really?
They got cut. They didn't realize, I guess, a band named Iron Mullet played heavy music.
This is funny, too. I'll tell you guys this. I had a friend. I never been there, but I had a friend that went there, and they told me country music was playing. Nobody was dancing. AC/DC, You Shook Me All Night Long, you could hear the boots. And they were line dancing to You Shook Me All Night Long. So, that's interesting. Anyway, so that's one thing down. Let's talk about number two. Number two, and I'm not talking about pooping. I'm talking about Kiss Alive 3 has now come out on Kiss Online and a special edition. So you guys go get them. I have looked at it. It looks like a good product. Surprisingly, I did not order one.
What's special about it?
Oh, I think that they, you know, I haven't really looked.
Okay.
I've been very busy this week with my kid. So I know that they'll still be there and I'll be able to order something, maybe a picture disc or something. And that's fine. And just get, you know, I'll just order it. I'm still waiting on Dubai. And
you're going to be waiting.
I'm waiting.
I don't think you're getting anything.
Anyway, but. Yeah, so that's out now, and that's kind of cool for those of you that weren't able to get it when it came out. When it originally came out, you know, it was a special edition with this and this, and now it's a special edition, and that's pretty awesome.
Okay. Limited edition.
Honey, first of all, I know you're not surprised they re-released this. I think that it's a good nod to Bruce.
Yeah. Because you have to nod to Bruce because Bruce is a good guy, right? And there's no reason not to have him involved. I don't think they blink when something that Bruce is involved in comes across. Yeah, can you imagine what they react to when something that involves Vinny comes across, right? Like that's probably a whole new thought, but with Bruce, they're all over it. I think Alive 3 is a good product. Yeah, I'm personally done buying these soundboards and new box set. I bought the Creatures one, but like, I don't know. It's got to be super special for me to really buy it. I didn't buy the Destroyer one, right? So I don't know. Some of that stuff, unless it's super special, I'm probably not gonna get it.
Yeah. No, I get it. It's a lot. There's a lot. There's so much stuff, and it's just, yeah. I get it 100%. Look, no, my face didn't drop, Chuck 74. Well, I'm fine.
Face just dropped.
When somebody said, hate to be the bearer of bad news, Joe, vinyl sold out.
He'll find one.
I promise you, it will show up at the record store here where I live, and I will get it.
And I think that's part of what I think what Universal is doing, and a lot of places are doing this, not just Universal. They're trying to make it kitschy, right? And they're trying to create this supply-demand issue to where first come, first serve. It's kind of cool. You have one of these limited edition things. It's a collectible, blah, 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 blah. I'm on the opposite end. I want it readily available so I can get it if I feel like it and not have to fight 50 Kiss collectors to get 500 vinyls that they buy 10 each of. Right. Like, I just...
And it's already sold out. What the hell?
Yeah. So then I just listened to it on Spotify.
Print some more. Print some more. So I don't understand. Okay.
Yeah, I don't under, you know, they get everybody to run and get
everybody
them.
Everybody wants all right. it.
So that's out there, guys. Plus, I did post on our Facebook page that EricCarr.com got a bunch more, they said, of the Eric Carr vinyl. So go get them if you haven't got one. If you want it, go get it. And to add to your collection, that's cool. Okay, so also I did want to mention yesterday, as a matter of fact, I went on iTunes and I purchased Spinning Gold. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many of you have seen it, but I'm about to do some spoilers. So if that bothers you, now you need to turn the volume down. And this is going to take a few minutes. Okay. Oh, if it doesn't bother you, then you're fine. You know the story. You know the story. I'm just spoiling the way they told they put things in order. And you guys, I'm going to ask questions. Now, Scambatty is here and he's going to be able to help me out a little bit. Okay. I'm sure if I say anything wrong, he'll jump in and say something. All right. So Kiss is in the very beginning of the movie. I will tell you guys, Kiss. Here's the crazy thing. It's a story that I've never heard. I don't know if it's real or not. I know that, remember, spoilers here. I know that at one point in the movie, the guy playing Neil Bogart, who I thought, here's the thing, I have no idea how Neil Bogart acted, was. I don't know his personality. The only time I ever saw him talk was, in that Double Platinum commercial. I never saw anything with him. All I can tell you is the guy that's playing the person, Neil Bogart, did very well. I enjoyed his portrayal of a gambler that's willing to put it all on the line for a dream. Make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So he brings Kiss to debut them, their first show, at like a casino. And as soon as they start playing, they're playing Shout It Out Loud.
In 73.
It's 74, I think.
It makes no sense.
Okay. So this was a little...
Somebody didn't do their homework.
Right. Now here's the thing. The only reason I could come up with that is because that's one of the songs on the soundtrack. Okay? Maybe they couldn't get the rights to other songs. Is this possible? Or maybe these are the ones they wanted. You follow me? You know, if they're going to do Deuce, it's not as popular, and I'm saying that in the loosest of terms.
No, it's true.
As Shout It Out Loud.
Yep.
Okay? So it makes more sense for the soundtrack to have Shout It Out Loud as opposed to Deuce. Although we all love Deuce, and most of us love Shout It Out Loud. And I'm just saying, that's the song they started off as. So somebody said, it was the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles Casablanca launch. Now, Kiss is playing, all the sprinklers go off. They all get soaked. They get half a song in or three quarters of a song.
Did that happen?
Well, see, that's the thing. I've never heard of that before.
They may have embellished a tad.
Absolutely. They hint that the reason they called the song Beth was to take a. It felt like, in my opinion, of what I was understanding, was they were taking a jab at Neil Bogart, who was apparently married to a lady named Beth, but dating another woman. You follow me? Mm-hmm. So that's
not real.
But it was also in like 75 when they're listening to the song. Somebody's playing guitar. I think it was the guy that was playing Paul. And you could see in Neil Bogart's, the character's face, that he's very upset that they did this. And the Gene and Paul guys are kind of like, it's like a dig. You know what I mean?
I'm not buying that.
I don't think that was right. And then they mentioned that Peter wrote it and other things. Anyway, all right. I don't want to give away too much more. I will tell you that there was one time, and I, of course, we weren't there, and it's all could be absolutely true. They kind of made,
It's only a movie.
Joe, are you on mute?
He muted himself. Joe.
I did not mean to. That was weird. Okay, so this it's only
it was the universe
movie,
muting
movie,
you.
It's only a movie. Keep repeating. Absolutely, Johnny, you are correct. And there was serious artistic license. So this is what I'm trying to say. If you watch the movie and you're expecting factual stuff, I don't know how much factual stuff was in this movie. Keep in mind, he actually says, it's a funny thing about memories. It's something like you remember certain things more clearly. So basically what he's trying to say, I believe here, the character, is I didn't write this movie. I'm Neil Bogart, but I didn't write this movie. Everybody that was around wrote this movie. So, you know, the people that wrote it might have said, well, that's how I remember it. So that's how we're going to put it in there. And that's the artistic license. Anyway,
none of these movies are factual. All these rock movies, they're just not true half the time.
But I will tell you this, and I mean this, in my personal opinion, go ahead and watch the movie and think of it as just like a period piece. Does that make sense? It takes place in the 60s and the 70s. And Neil Bogart is kind of telling the story almost Ferris Bueller style. They keep coming back to him, like in his office. And he's telling you, well, this is what happened next. And then it shows you go there. I thought the cast was pretty good. I thought that the acting was pretty good. There were a few times where I was like, I've seen three of the actors I recognized from other things. One of them was the guy who played Billy Coyne. I recognized from Kids in the Hall.
Oh,
the girl who played Neil Bogart's wife, Beth, was Adam Sandler's love interest in Pixels.
Michelle Monaghan.
You know her name?
Yeah.
Super beautiful. And then Neil Bogart's like strong arm, like when they would go somewhere and try to convince somebody to play a record. I can't think of his name right now, but he's the guy in Balls of Fury, and he's the ping pong player, you guys. So if you guys, and I'm playing ping pong. Look at me. Hey, look at me. I'm good. Anyway, I was double paddling it.
Okay.
And he was great. He made me laugh probably four or five times just in the fact that he was not afraid to slap people around. And that was great. I loved that. So I will tell you, I got it on iTunes. It cost me $20. And I understand that, you know, $20 is, you know, a lot of money to some people. If you don't want to spend the money, wait for it to come out. Otherwise, I liked it, and I'll probably watch it again because it was a really good story. The whole idea of Diana Ross, I liked it. I liked the storytelling, it was good in my opinion. So you guys could wait till it streams and give it a shot.
I'll watch it as a fiction movie.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was a good story. It was a good story. Okay, so
the Queen movie. Yeah, the Queen movie was that way. Hendrix was that way. The Doors movie was that way. Maverick was that way.
Motley Crue.
Right? Sully was that way. Right? Like, there's fighter pilots coming out. Oh, Maverick's not real. It doesn't happen that way. Like,
no
shit. Come on, seriously?
Yeah, it's a movie.
I can tell you,
they gotta make it.
I don't care what anybody says. It couldn't be Paul. It couldn't be Gene. It couldn't be Bruce. It could not be anybody, not any fan. There is not one person on the planet that could make a Kiss movie that would be so factual that everybody would bow down and say, that is the real of all reels. That, no matter who made a Kiss movie, somebody would be rapping at it.
Everyone experienced it differently.
Yeah, yeah, that didn't happen. Oh, that's bullshit. Right. Said once that never happened. Peter said once it happened this way. Like, it wouldn't matter who made the movie. Whatever.
They were going to be, people will be upset about it. It didn't bother, it bothered me for a second because I was like, I was hoping they weren't trying to make it factual and throwing this. Anyway, okay, so let's get past that. Before we get to the topic of the week, you guys that are watching live, I want to give this away. So this is the Spinning Gold soundtrack. The Kiss songs on it are Rock and Roll All Night, Shout It Out Loud, and Beth. And out of all three of those, I liked Beth the most and did not like the others. But that's okay because the version of Love to Love You Baby from Diana Ross is pretty good.
Who's singing the Beth version?
Yeah, are they the actors singing it? Like, who's singing
Somebody
this?
Named Alex Gascarth.
I don't know who that is.
I don't know who it is.
No clue.
Then It's Your Thing, One Toke Over the Line, Ain't No Sunshine, Midnight Train to Georgia. Give Up the Funk, Bad Girls, Last Dance, Greatest Time. That's the soundtrack. Yeah, I think the album is gold as well. I'm going to go ahead and give this away. Here, look. I'm not going to look. I do not care who wins.
I love this comment by About the Funk. That's awesome.
All right. This is what it says. Wow, this is weird. R. Stanley. It's dark. It's bright. It's bright. It's dark. R. Stanley, you won the record. I will get it to you. I'll message you. Okay.
Congratulations.
So, congratulations. I'll send it to you. And I'll put a few extra Podcast Rock City goodies in there. I sent the Eric Carr record out. I put a bag in there. I put the cards in there. I put guitar picks. I still got a ton of guitar picks. So I'll start mailing some of those out to you guys. And
did you notice? Okay, so I haven't seen the movie yet, but I've seen clips of it, and I just know this part because of something else. But that producer, Giorgio, did you notice who the actor was?
No, he's in France when it's going on with Donna Summer. No, who was it?
That's Sebastian Maniscalco, the comedian.
I don't know.
In makeup.
Over my head.
You don't know who Sebastian Maniscalco is?
No.
Oh, my God. He's one of the biggest comedians on the planet right now.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I'm really out of the loop. So
he's selling out like arenas.
Well, dang, I'm going to go and check that out. That's pretty cool.
Wow.
But anyway, so
how about the Kiss makeup in that movie? That was interesting.
You got to get past that. That's the thing.
I can't get
the logo, and the logo is a little off. And, you know, the boots look right. You know, they're on the Alive and. Anyway, okay, so let's go ahead and get to the topic of the week. If it'll go.
Let's
Podcast Rock City topic of the week.
All right, so this week on the Podcast Rock City Facebook page, I posted a thing. Which album do you like more, Dynasty or Unmasked? We have them right here. 79, 80, which one do you like the most? I will tell you guys that it wasn't split even. But it was way closer than I expected. A lot of people really love Unmasked. And as a matter of fact, somebody even mentioned it here, and I saw it on online too, that somebody felt like there was less filler on Unmasked than there was on Dynasty. So before we go any further, let's just start talking about Dynasty. Lee, that was the first Kiss tour you saw, right?
Correct.
But not the first Kiss record you got.
Correct.
Okay, so when you first heard Dynasty, you were, I don't want to say how old you were, but let's say, because you're a lady, but let's
I don't
go,
care.
I'm know,
proud but, that I was there.
Okay, but I understand.
I was 15.
You were 15. Okay, but what I wanted to say was, did you notice that it was weird sounding Kiss?
Yes. The disco thing annoyed me at the beginning. Like, you know, I Was Made for Loving You, but some of the other songs I just fell in love with, like Charisma, you know, and X-Ray Eyes and 2000 Man. So I liked it when I bought it.
And so, all right, that's pretty cool. Sonny, so you came into the Kiss story late. So you came in, I'm sorry, Asylum, right?
Yeah, I came in Asylum, but I've told a story before. My first record purchase, my plan was to go buy Slide It In, Animalize, and Purple Rain. It was the end of 84. When I was looking for Animalize, I came across the Dynasty cover and like, why is this in this section?
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, I guess I'll buy this too. So, you know, technically, I guess you could say Dynasty was in my first record purchase. I will also tell you, first time I heard it, I guess I put on the wrong side because there was people bitching that there was like disco on the thing. And the first thing I heard was Sure Know Something. So I guess maybe right. I put the wrong side on.
Well, there's one real disco song. Yeah.
That's yeah. And you could say Sure Know Something is somewhat disco. Yeah, but I will tell you, the first time I heard Dynasty, the two songs that really punched me in the head was Sure Know Something and Magic Touch. Mm-hmm. And I listened to Dynasty a week ago, and the same two songs punched me in the head. Those are the two songs that are my favorite on that album. Mm-hmm.
So Lee, do you have, all right, so that's Dynasty. For me, I was only about 8 or 9 when it came out. I did not notice anything different. I just thought music is music and this is Kiss. It says Kiss and it has their faces on it. And look at this poster.
Right, yay, exactly.
Poster, you know, yay, it came with a poster. This is awesome.
Love that
and
poster so
I was
much.
Super excited about it. The cover, some people... and we've talked about it on the show. Some people say that Peter, let's see if I can get it right, that Peter's makeup is wonky. But there are
it's the perfect make Gene's makeup there is perfect. Like that's the best makeup.
What's yeah. wonky about Peter's makeup? I guess
yeah,
I've never
Peter's
noticed.
Makeup.
So if you look
because he looks
it,
sad.
No. There are some people that say that it's not done right. So anyway, we've discussed this before, and basically what we think is What we think is that it was just how he's holding his face. It makes it the contour, you know?
Yeah.
But there are going to be comments now where people are going, I never noticed. And then there's going to be people going, yeah, it's not right. Anyway, we think right. it's how he's holding his face.
Yeah. And it is possible Charisma is the first song of sex. I don't know. All I know is when I dropped the needle on it, right. Sure Know Something happened first. My dad's record player was a piece of shit, too. It was in one of those cabinets with an 8-track in it that nice. Had whiskey spilled all over it 35 times. So I don't know how great that record player was to begin with, but anyway.
Okay, look at this comment. Guys, please, this should be the shortest podcast in history. Dynasty is a very good album. Unmasked is not. A few interesting songs. That's about it. Well, that's what makes our show interesting. Everybody gets an opinion. And yeah. So don't forget, before we move any further, you can always message us at podcastrockcity1.
That's the number one.
At gmail.com, podcastrockcity1. That's the number one at gmail.com. Yeah, so I understand where you're coming from. I guess it's me. I get it, but I will, my opinion counts too, and so does everybody else's, and we're going to talk about that. I still enjoy Dynasty, and I'm going to go ahead and say this, but not as much as I enjoy Unmasked.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so for those of you, now let's talk about Unmasked. Oh, where the hell is it?
What about that awesome poster in Dynasty, though? I love
it. It is great.
I have that up. It's amazing.
I will tell you guys that I think I wish that they would have put the poster. I like the poster. You know, that came with it. But the poster with the photographer, I always thought was pretty kick-ass, too. Have you ever seen the picture? You know what I'm talking about? Where he's with them and they're in their straight jackets.
Yes.
It's kind of cool. I always thought that was nice, too. But
a straight jacket picture is one of the most iconic pictures.
It's amazing.
And I get
right.
There's the Destroyer and the Love Gun and the cubes and blah, blah, blah. And I got all that shit around here, too. But that straight jacket photo is so cool.
It's amazing.
It is cool. Okay, so... for those of you that don't know, my girlfriend Karen and I, with the help of a friend Kevin Williams, we shot a documentary series called "Makeup of an Army," and you could Google it, and it's on our YouTube page, "Makeup of an Army." It's like 7 or 8 episodes; they're 30 minutes long or so, and I tell my story about Unmasked on there. About when I was a kid and I wanted Unmasked. So if you get a chance, go and check it out. It's on our YouTube page. It's a lot of fun. I also interview Joey. He tells his whole story about becoming a Kiss fan. I interview tons of our friends and some of you guys that are listening and watching right now. You're in it. So if you get a chance, go and check that out. It's called Makeup of an Army. It'll be awesome. I shot it about 5 years ago. All right, so my thing was I was sitting in my grandmother's living room. I remember it clear as day. The commercial came on, and basically it was that commercial where they're showing the different panels in the thing, and there's a person saying the lines. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I told my mom I want this record, and she told me you can have the record. Actually, I think it came out yesterday's the anniversary, I think, of Unmasked. So my mom told me we'll get it for you when you come back from camp. And I did not want to go. I did not want to go to camp. I'd never been to
sleep.
I just wanted the record. I've never been to sleepaway camp. I was like 9 years old. You know what I mean? That's in the 70s, it was traumatic. Yeah, I'm being sent out for the first time. But because I wanted the record,
I was sent.
Your parents needed a break. That's what that was.
We were sent to camp.
I'm going to let you know that's probably a yeah. Although later on in life, my mom said it was your dad's idea for you to go.
Yeah. That's them jabbing at each other over time. That's what that is.
It really was. But anyway, when I got home, mom had the record for me. I was excited. I opened it. It came with the poster. I was super excited. I put it on, and I loved it. Now, Sonny, the first time you heard Unmasked, what'd you think?
I liked it right from the get-go, but by the time I get Unmasked, I'm getting into its late 80s, so I'm getting into Motown. I'm getting to 50s. I'm hearing a little more disco. I'm watching a lot of MTV. I hear a lot of pop. And Unmasked was great to me. Like, I didn't, the first time I heard it, oh my God, this isn't Destroyer, it's garbage or whatever. And I would tell you that the songs I immediately latched onto was What Makes a World Go Round, Tomorrow, and Easy As It Seems. Because Paul was killing everything on the 80s albums, and you could tell it was Paul. And I'm like, oh my God, those three songs are so great. And I listened to it the other day. And it's the same three songs that catch me now, except for I love Naked City on that album too. So it's not that I don't like the other songs. It's just that those are the songs that I go to most often. And when somebody tells me Tomorrow sucks, I'm like, dude, you're not listening then. Because it's a great song.
Yeah.
Right.
Lee, what about you?
I liked it immediately. I especially liked Easy As It Seems. And She's So European, of course. Yeah, I love the album.
Yeah,
I love the poster. The poster went up.
The poster was terrific. We did an interview with the artist.
I love the corner thing. I still say they stink.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. There's Scambatty going at Sonny.
like I said, up, it was Andrew. A piece of shit. So go for it.
Anyway. he's so funny. We know he loves us. Anyway,
we love him.
So that's some controversy. There, I have met a number of people that don't like that they put that panel on there that says I still say
they don't understand it. Because I live that hearing it every day at school.
Okay. Yes, this is a photographer for the press. He's trying to get pictures of them without their makeup. And in
someone
the end,
understood what us kids were going through with it.
And it says on here, and the crowd goes wild once more, and then it's got them on stage, and it says, I still say they stink. Right. I always thought this guy looked like the Mad Magazine dude.
Kind of looks like a mad person, yes.
I can't remember what his name was. Alfred E. Newman.
Alfred E. Newman.
It came to me as I said, I couldn't remember.
But think about how much sense that makes. So the critics never love Kiss. We know
that.
Right?
Never.
But the photographers all wanted to get a picture without makeup.
Yeah.
So basically, you wanted to show me who it really was that stinks. Like, it wasn't good enough that the guys in paint are stink. You have to show me that the guy might be your next door neighbor and that he stinks. Like, that makes no sense to me. Like, normally, so it just goes to show you that the opposite of love isn't hate, it's indifference. Right, because otherwise, hate and love is a fine line.
Mm-hmm. It is.
No, it's true. It's true, and I will tell you that I can tell you that when I was a little kid, I hated Roddy Piper. But then, as I got older, I realized loved Roddy Piper.
Was that because you were a Hulk Hogan fan? Is that why you didn't like Piper?
No. Well, I don't remember if I was a Hulk Hogan fan, but I think I was more of an Andre the Giant fan.
Oh.
But I did not like Roddy Piper because he was the bad guy, and I thought wrestling is...
Roddy made that masterpiece of a movie, They Live.
Yeah, oh my God.
It's a masterpiece. Don't even start.
Lord.
No, it's amazing.
Oh my God.
Amazing.
Okay,
amazing.
All right. We're not a movie podcast. Anyway, okay, but that's okay. I enjoy They Live as well. It's super strange.
Amazing.
All right, so that is a little bit of controversy. I will tell you guys their costumes on this are obviously the Dynasty costumes, right? Just like reused. The one thing, and I'm really upset I don't have it ready right now, but when Ace has got his, it's supposed to be, I guess, his cape, but it looks like wings. I really wish that's what he had. I wish it wasn't that cape. It would have been kick-ass for him to go boom and have these wings, man, that looked like in that picture. That'd have
God,
been so
I think
good.
I'm the only one that hates the capes. I absolutely hate the capes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But they're superheroes. About the capes. Kiss are superheroes.
Good Lord. I think I'm the only one. Everybody only loves one. The capes. I hate them.
Well, you weren't into 70s Kiss, so.
But I like all those costumes without the damn capes.
They made them into superheroes. That's what they did.
Yeah, that might have been a mistake, or it might have been brilliant. I will tell you guys this. Here's a comment. Great baseline on Sure Knows Something.
Oh yeah.
I recently taught it, and I never teach Kiss at my music store because it's too predictable. Anybody who knows me knows I love Kiss. But I have a bass student that's closer to my age, and he loved rock. We've done Maiden and Black Sabbath and stuff. So I was like, well, let's change. But the other day, this past Saturday, I taught the bass line to Torpedo Girl, which let's talk about that. That is, to me, the most out of place non-Kiss song ever written. But I love it for some strange reason. The bass line, boop, 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 boop.
Yeah, it's cool. I love it.
So different. And then Ace is singing about surfing. What? Do you think Ace Frehley ever was on a surfboard, Sonny?
No.
He can't walk.
No. He was not on a surfboard.
Stoned, he thought he was.
Yeah. But that's weird because I think Torpedo Girl fits more than like 2000 Man does.
Hmm. Oh, really?
Because Torpedo Girl, Ace is a little out there and Torpedo Girl kind of fits. Where 2000 Man's kind of like a straight ahead kind of like rocker thingy. Well, he didn't write it. That's part
just
of the
cover,
thing, right?
Yeah. Cover.
So, Sonny, somebody wants to know, I like Dirty Living. Just asking, what is filler?
Love Dirty Living.
So
I love
filler,
Dirty Living.
So filler. I'm guessing that you're asking what we mean by that. It's just like songs they put in to fill in space. But Sonny, in case they're asking what songs you might think is filler, any songs on there?
the on Dynasty, the yeah. song that I think is filler. Watch, okay.
Oh boy,
Lee's gonna go nuts.
Don't do it. Don't say it.
X-ray eyes.
Don't
X-ray
say
eyes
that.
Is filler.
That's
to
silly.
Me.
You're silly.
I love the other eight songs. X-ray eyes is meh to me.
Okay,
but that's okay. Okay, so all right, so Lee.
Let's pick anything, and, say anything bad about Gene, and we start going at it.
I know. Not a Gene song. Don't be ripping on it.
So they're both produced by Vinnie Poncia, right?
Yep.
So, and that was really interesting because Peter Criss's solo album's Vinnie Poncia, right? Then for Dynasty, Kiss uses Vinnie Poncia. And then I guess they looked at Dynasty and said, well, we had a big hit there. Let's go on to the next. And it was not as big a hit as Dynasty was. So right. Here's my question. Do you think that younger kids grasped, okay, younger kids and adults who were, you know, shaking their wazoo at the disco got on to Dynasty because of I Was Made for Loving You? Paul Stanley said, I was at a disco dancing and I heard the song and I knew I could write this.
Right.
Now we know he wrote it with somebody. He didn't write it by himself. But so my question is, and this is where it gets a little deep. Do you think that Kiss, this came out and people got into it, you know, because I Was Made for Loving You. And then we also had Super Kiss for the Young Kids, but there's no I Was Made for Loving You on here. However, right. I think somebody said Easy As It Seems is more of a disco song than I Was Made for Loving You.
It's got a funky feel.
So do you think that that was what happened? Do you think people just tuned out? Do you think that they said, all right, I got this. I enjoyed this. This is just a rehash of try to rehash this, Sonny?
That's a tough question. So Dynasty feels like a normal transition growing into maybe what's happening. And I'm going to say this out loud, and it's going to make it sound like I don't like Unmasked. I actually like Unmasked. But if you were to ask somebody, who did they do Unmasked for? Right? Because if you're doing it for 10-year-olds, well, they don't got no money. If you're doing it for disco folks, disco's not only does it have other people they can go to, but disco came and died faster than grunge did. If you're doing it for your old Kiss fans, they left you the minute they heard Dynasty. If you're doing it for new fans, you're doing a project that's about to be dead. So exactly who are you doing this for? And I think that's what the problem is with Unmasked. So I think it's easy to say, well, if they would have done Creatures in 80, they'd be better off. I don't know about that. Maybe you catch the guys that are into British Steel and some of the stuff that's coming out of Britain. Maybe you catch those guys because you're not going to catch it with Unmasked. But I don't think you could just say they could do Creatures, they would have been better off. So I just don't exactly know what Unmasked is supposed to be. Who's it supposed to be for? I'm lost a little bit. I love it, but I'm finding it 8 years after it got released. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. So that's the thing. Lee, what do you think?
I don't even remember what the question was.
Do you think that they lost fans by doing a disco kind of poppy album?
Oh, the disco? No, yeah. they gained fans, but then I don't know, because I was a fan and I loved it. So, I mean, I'm sure people did turn away from the disco, but I loved it. And I when Unmasked came out, I stayed with Kiss. I still loved it. So I don't know. It was, I guess Unmasked was for me. I don't know.
When I was little, I could, it didn't matter what they put out. I was getting it. I was listening
Same.
To it.
Same.
I was liking
it.
It was my band. That's the Same. Way it worked.
Yeah. And I would bitch about a song here and there, but overall, I always loved everything.
And does it sell
so
better?
Exciting. It was so exciting to get the new album, you know?
And does it sell better if it doesn't have the comic strip cover? If it has the four guys on it in some way, shape, or form? Because you're really going from Destroyer to Rock and Roll Over to Love Gun to the solo albums to the four faces on Dynasty to a comic strip?
Comic strip. Mm-hmm.
And then the next album doesn't even have them.
Good
point.
So maybe
that, maybe it's you took the marketing, like, hello, what happened to the marketing? Like, that's the whole point here.
Yeah, that is a good point.
Interesting.
It, you know, but remember, they're trying to sell them as superheroes. And where do you get superheroes?
Comic books. That's true.
Does that make some sense?
It does. So if you're doing the album for comic book nerds, well, then you got the sales you thought you were going to get. Because that ain't people who buy rock albums, at least. So, I don't know.
What's your favorite song on Dynasty, Sonny?
Ooh. I would have to say Sure Know Something.
That's a tough one.
Sure Know Something with a very, very close 1A with Magic Touch.
I don't know, man. I got to look at them side by side and like...
I know. It's hard.
For me, it's probably Hard Times. I really like that song, man. It's like Ace being the most honest. That's like an honest song. It's not any kind. You know what I mean? He's talking about how great his life is now compared to the way it was, you know, before he joined Kiss. That's pretty much for me. What about you, Lee?
Well, I love Charisma. I just love it. I can't help it. And then I was going to mention, when I saw that Bad Boys tour with Peter and Ace.
Yeah.
That version they did of Dirty Living, nothing can top it. It was so great. They came out and sat in stools and like Peter had a bongo. It was just amazing. I wish I had, cool. There might be something on YouTube. I don't know, but it was amazing. But Charisma is my favorite.
Sonny on Unmasked, your favorite is?
Ooh, that's tough.
That changes by the day. So yeah. I would say today it is Tomorrow.
Lee?
Probably She's So European.
I like that song too, but mine is going to be Naked City. I love that
Naked
song.
Naked City's great too.
It's such a different, you know, just such a different kind of song. Gene's vocal is awesome on it. Yep. I like the lyrics. It's, you know, just one of those things where it's so different that I like it a lot. There's a lot of keyboards on Unmasked as well. I really wish this song was a little harder rock. You know, I think that it, you know, we've said on the show years ago that had Duran Duran put this record out, it probably would have been more popular because that was really what they were known for. And Sonny says,
I like Duran Duran. You know who did all the keyboards on the album, right? Holly Knight. So she has said now.
Right. That, she got a book. She has a book out?
Yeah. 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 Right. She did. Uh-oh. So she was doing it for the demo tracks and doing it so somebody can come in. She was writing all the parts so somebody could come in and play the keyboards. And I guess Gene went up to her and said, look, why don't you just play keyboards on the record? You will not get credit. Here is a paycheck. Thank you very much. Because she was in the band Spider, which was also managed by Bill O'Coin. Right? So they all kind of knew each other. And so, yeah, she played keyboards on all these.
Wow.
That is pretty cool.
They were just trying to get into the pop scene with the keyboards, I guess.
And somebody said, Bretzky said, Gene loved comics. We know that. He still loves comics, right?
Sure.
So if it's Gene that's kind of pushing the comic book strip, and it was Gene who was pushing the elder bullshit, so really Gene killed Kiss.
And the capes.
Yeah, so Gene killed Kiss, basically.
Bretzky.
Isn't that true? Then that would be true, right?
If you look at it from that point of view, then yes.
And then he bolted to go do movies, and then Paul had to save it.
That's right.
So Gene killed Kiss, and Paul saved it.
You could say that.
Hey, I think that it's the truth. I think that it's the truth. Okay, so we've talked about this as much as we can. One of the things that I do want to point out is Anton Figg. We have to bring him up. He played on both of these records, and it kicked ass, I thought. Yes?
Nice guy, too, when we met him. Nice guy.
Yes, yes. Yeah, oh, no, I agree. He was very nice, and it was one of the coolest things is that I got him to sign, because the whole band, Fraley's Comet, was at that Indie Expo, and I got them to sign my Fraley's Comet promo record. I was so thrilled. I thought I would never. Well,
a whole band wasn't there. Huh? It was missing the Fraley part.
Fraley was there.
Was Ace there that time?
Remember they got on stage and played.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, they got on stage.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Remember the guy in the crowd who had the question? Hey, you remember me? I gave you my demo in 1979. Oh, I was sitting in the third row.
Sit down.
I forgot all about that.
You know what? And I know that I always come off as a super nice guy because I am. And I want you guys to know that I understood where the guy was coming from. He wanted his moment. And I get it. I get it. But just today, so I've met Gene Simmons 5 or 6 times now. Today, somebody said, do you think that if you were in, because I said, I told one of my friends, I'm going to be in front row at Nashville. They said, do you think that he would recognize you? I was like, no.
No.
No, he's not going to recognize
you. He's got a really good memory, Joe. I told you what happened with me.
You're a beautiful woman.
No,
I
but
am Joe.
No, I'm telling you, he's got an amazing memory.
That is hilarious.
I think that if I told him I'm the one that asked him that did a quick Q&A with him, and I asked him about his mom's cooking, that might jar a memory because it messed him up a little bit. But other than that, hell no, he's gonna look at me and go, "Whoa, that guy needs to stop eating cookies." Or he might even say, I'm going to ask him. I bet he has cookies on him. So, okay. So I love both of these records. I will tell you that I enjoy Unmasked more. And as a matter of fact, as soon as we're done today, I'm going to put this bitch
put
on.
Put it on.
I'm going to put that bitch on. And Bretzky's messing with me thinking I'm not showing off vinyl. What I'm doing is, see, here's
although
the thing.
He keeps showing it.
It's
and
clout.
He keeps showing the Japanese version.
It's clout. Here's what it is. People watch this. If they see a cutout, then I don't know if they take me as serious as I have Japanese. I'm serious Kiss fan. You know that Kiss fans are, just like Sonny said, very critical. You know, if you look at Scambatty on here, he's been answering questions for the people watching.
Well, he knows every detail of everything. Right. I can't keep it straight.
Yeah, you know, it's like my. Anyway, so all right, this has been a lot of fun. I want to thank you guys very much. It's not a toss up for me because I do enjoy Unmasked more, but I also think that it has something to do with how I got it. Right. Excuse me.
That always comes into it. Yep.
Every
where you
one
were at
of
the
us,
time, you know.
Every one of us. Sonny, what's your favorite Kiss album?
Ever? Asylum.
Oh. Why?
First tour. First
Lee,
time I saw him.
What's your favorite Kiss album?
I've said it a million
Destroyer.
Times. Destroyer. It's Destroyer because
why?
Because it's the first one I got my own money, and I had just discovered Alive and everything, and yeah, it meant something to me at that time, and it's ingrained.
And every single one of us has a story about our favorite record, just like that. And it's, and that's what makes being a fan of anything awesome.
Of course,
it's just one of those things where if you're a collector, and I live here in Georgia, Lee lives here in Georgia, you will meet, I don't know about everywhere you are, I don't know about everywhere around the country, but we have a lot of people down here that collect Coca-Cola stuff.
Oh yeah.
And if you go in and say, what's your favorite piece? It's going to be, this is my favorite piece. Why? And there's a story. And it's the same thing that has to do with Kiss, man. And that's what makes it awesome. Sonny, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, so, and we'll have Lee do the same thing. And we'll have Joe do the same thing. So, my favorite Paul song between the two albums would be Sure Know Something.
Shit.
My favorite Gene song between the two albums, Naked City. My favorite Ace song between the two albums. I think I got to go with Hard Times. And I guess, well, you have to go with Dirty Living because you have no choice.
Yeah, you have no choice, Dirty Living. For me, it's between the two albums, it's going to be Naked City. That's Gene. For Paul, it's going to be Is That You? I love that song. I love Is That You? I love the fact that I love the fact that I got to see him play it live. And it was just awesome. And Ace is Hard Times. Lee?
Let's see. Dynasty, of course, Charisma for Gene. Probably Sure Know Something for Paul. Yeah. I mean, it's an amazing tune. Of course, Dirty Living.
So here, so look, Chuck McFarlane. Oh, you had one more. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Chuck McFarlane. Okay, he asked the question, and our buddy Doug has answered it. I'm going to go ahead. Is it pop or soda?
Depends where you live.
It depends is soda. On where you live. But here in the South, this is the answer. Chuck in the South, all soda is Coke. If you walk up to the thing, you say, hey, I want a Coke, and they always say, we have RC or we have Pepsi. But no matter what you're drinking, somebody asks you, it's a Coke. All right. So
Joe, when I moved here from New York,
you're from the North.
I ordered pop because it was pop up there. And they looked at me like I was crazy.
On the West Coast, it is soda. It is soda. Not pop.
It's not pop and it ain't Coke. But we live here
it's
in the South.
It's pop to me. I don't care.
And at the Target store I worked at, we sold Diet Coke like it was going out of style. Yeah. It was all really? Diet Coke, Diet Pepsi. It outsold regular Coke.
If you get a chance, I would always say if you're in Atlanta, go to the Coca-Cola Museum and get. They have all these sodas from around the world.
Yeah, and they squirt it way down. They come out.
I recommend you try Beverly and drink as much of it as you can in one mouthful. All right, I'm kidding. It's disgusting. It's the worst. It's the worst drink I've ever had.
Yeah, they have
in
them from
life.
All different countries, and some of them are so nasty.
It's so nasty, and they love that like fucking candy canes. Anyway, all right. So thank you guys very much. I'll send the Spinning Gold record out. Lee, do you have anything to add?
No, that was fun. If I got to choose between the two, I choose Dynasty. You know what can I say?
Yeah. There you go. You guys can let us know what you think. Podcast RockCity1, that's the number one, at gmail.com. Now, I will tell you, somebody that listens and or watches sent us an email about an idea for a show. We're going to do it. We've talked about Kiss Alive 2, but I asked Sonny, hey, have we ever covered this before? He said, not exactly this. We will soon cover this topic. So stick around. If you have something you would love to just hear us talk about, always remember this about Podcast Rock City, man. We're just friends sitting around talking about the show. We're not trying to be Andrew Scambatti.
No one can.
Wow.
There's only one.
He's messaging me right now, I guess.
What in the hell?
I'm just kidding.
Andrew, that was unsolicited. He did not check that with the two of us.
We love Andrew.
That is all joke.
Let me tell you, here's the truth. I love Andrew Scambatti. In most states, I could marry him, and I think I would.
Oh, my goodness.
I would marry Andrew. All right, so, and I try to say his name right every time. Andrew knows way more. You know, as far as like, I mean, he's a reader and he's smart and, you know, he's got it going on. All right. So always remember that we're just sitting around and we're talking and we're just chatting about our favorite band or one of our favorite bands. Obviously, there's been a lot of comments about the fact that the cloud is hanging behind Sonny's head today.
Right. What a beauty.
A huge Prince fan. I will tell you that this morning while I was busy in the bathroom, I brought my phone in there and ordered that Prince concert, Prince and the Revolution concert. I own it on CD already, but I bought the video. I've never seen that. So we're all, I'm a Prince fan too. What about you, Lee?
Love Prince.
Love Prince.
Yes.
So we talk about our favorite band on here, which is Kiss, and we really get into it as best we can just by having fun, just like you would if you were sitting around a table having a beer or a glass of wine or a big fat fucking bowl. We sit and we watch and we fucking talk. And always remember this. I'm very serious what I say here. Don't take our opinions too seriously. We're having fun.
Yeah, it's just and an opinion.
It's just our opinion. And you know, I love the fact that you guys that are watching live do not shit on each other. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Everybody's opinion, and somebody might go, "You're crazy," or something like that, but nobody's shitting on each other, and I appreciate that. Now, you know what I'm going to say. We love Kiss. And we love Kiss podcasts, most of them. And in just a couple of months, in July, we're going to hit our 10-year anniversary.
Wow.
And it's Lee and I, and our friend Rick and his son Trey, and a friend Luke, we started this 10 years ago.
Wow.
And we are going to try to have the best 10-year anniversary show that we can. So make sure you stick around. I will tell you that I did have a conversation through email with Desmond Child's manager, and that would be a great 10-year anniversary show if it happens. I want you guys to know that. So if it does happen, you all have to be here when we do it live, as long as he'll do it live. But I understand that he has a book coming out, and that would be a lot of fun to talk about and to get his stories about Bon Jovi, about Kiss, and everything else that he was involved in. So we'll wait and see. We also know Chris Sinzak, who has interviewed him before with the Decibel Geek, and I'm going to now message Chris and tell him to send a message to them about how cool we are here at Podcast Rock City. You know what I'm going to say. We love Kiss and we love Kiss podcasts, most of them anyway. And you're going to hear the commercials for all the ones we love right after this in 3, 2, 1.
Peace.
Thank you, and goodbye.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. Have you heard of the Click Tees shop yet? These t-shirts reach into the deepest nostalgia of the hottest band in the world with designs like the Demon's First Stage shirt, the Rock Skull, the Spaceman's very first stage shirt, Eagle Wings, the Catman's Cadillac Michigan jacket, the Black Cat, the Phantom of the Park talisman, and a wide array of Eric Carr tees. With over 30 killer designs, these t-shirts dive so deep, they're like opening a private vault of rare classic material. Click Tees is not exactly all tees. They also have products like mugs, hats, necklaces, pillows, socks, stickers, and guitar picks. Podcast Rock City is happy to announce that we have partnered with Click Tee Shop, and we are now selling our merchandise there too. Buy some merchandise and let everyone know you're a fan of our show. Go to clickteeshop.com, that's click with a K, to check out all the great stuff to choose from.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world.
Kiss!
It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Hey, this is Stephen Michael.
And Sonny Hollywood Pooney, and we are from the Growing Up Rock Podcast.
Come check out the Growing Up Rock Podcast, where each and every week we talk to rock stars past and present and come up with some fun themes all to the beat of some killer hard rock and metal music.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can also check out our episodes, concert reviews, and album reviews at growinguprock.com.
That's growinguprock.com. GROWINUPROCK.com.
Growing Up Rock.
Turn it up.
Hey everybody, this is Jody Havnot. I want to invite you to come hang out with me and Mr. Nate Dimmel in the Dummy Room. The Dummy Room is a podcast that's all about having fun, talking about some great music, and we also have some really cool guests too. Check us out, man. I think you really dig it.
No gratitude need be voiced. Your mind speaks to us.